Dave, I really like that. I don't know where you came up with that stamping of Lighthouse, like the whole mold thing, but that was like genius.
Thanks. I knew I had to somehow come back to him since I kind of took him out of the story. I had to come back to him, so that's the only thing I could come up with. It turned out pretty cute, I think.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it's like one of those aha moments that like was that was I was like that quite a bit.
I was really worried it wasn't going to read, you know, that you wouldn't be able to tell what once I drew it. I mean, could you tell? Was it did it read okay? Did you tell if it
Oh
was?
yeah, right away. Ask Brian, what do you think? I mean,
Where Lighthouse gets stepped on?
no, the yeah when the he, Cargo's looking for him and he's making
Oh, the
them.
molds.
It read good. No problem. I didn't have any
Oh, good.
problems. Yeah.
Yeah, there's sometimes when I draw things, I think it's too visually confusing, you know, and I'm worried that it's not gonna read.
No, I know exactly. It's, you got this image in your head, and you think it's going to be this like bump, 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 no problem. And then you're like, then you show it to someone, they're like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So,
So.
yeah. I had a lot of that as a teenager. My dad was always like, I don't get it, son. So I'm like, what do you mean? I get so mad and storm off to my room.
Yeah, my dad was my best critic, I guess, worst critic. I remember there was a picture of Darth Vader that I was real proud of, and I showed him, and he said, "It's all black. It's all just black." And my mom tried to make me feel better, and she said, "Oh, he's just afraid of Darth Vader. That's why he told you that." She probably scolded him when I left the room. You know,
Yes.
that's the way my mom was.
That's right. Cold supper for him.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you want to have like any are we going anywhere with this, Brian, do you think? Do you want to have like any specific topic or
I
just
don't
like...
have anything specific in mind. Really, it's just to try out the software.
Okay. Sounds
So
good
if
too.
you have like a topic that you want to talk about.
Well, the only thing I'm really curious about, Dave, is like what made you finally just sit down and decide I'm going to do a webcomic? I know you've mentioned it on Monkey Always Wins, but sort of, but
Yeah.
just to like sit down and actually just do it and just get it all organized and what was that decision? Why, were you just walking down the street or?
I kind of came into it sideways. I always, you know, ever since I can remember, was a comic strip fan, and always, as a kid, had meant to, you know, to be a cartoonist. And then when I got older, I just kind of, you know, thought, oh, that's for people who could do that. I can't do that, you know, because I couldn't come up with jokes or anything, you know, a daily joke. But I worked with a guy who was a writer, and he wanted to write a comic strip, and he asked me to draw it, and so we worked on it a little bit, and then he disappeared. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Like, people want to collaborate and then they disappear. But it got the bug in me, and then I found out that there were web comics. I had never even heard of such a thing.
And when was that? When did you all of a sudden realize there's web comics out there? Because for me, it's pretty recent, actually.
Yeah, me too. It was probably only like a year before I actually posted Space 8 that I even heard there were web comics. I didn't even know. I found a book. There's some book. Gosh, I wish I knew what it was called, but there was a book like something like "So You Want" or "You Want to Have a Career in Cartooning" or something like that, and it was about how to get syndicated. And I had read that, and they had mentioned that people are starting to post things online themselves. It was written, I think, really, really early. Then I looked one day. I was like, well, maybe I could find one of these. And I think I came across the Penny Arcade and PvP. And I read those, and I kind of went, oh, I don't think I want to do that. You know, is it all about video games? You know, are all web comics about video games? And then I don't know what happened, but then I found Web Comics Weekly, the podcast, because I'm a big like podcast listener. And that was just immediately. That was like, oh, okay, that's what I want to do. And that introduced me to Sheldon, which pretty much made me realize you could do a newspaper worthy. You know, something you'd see in the newspaper that's, you know, like a gag a day, and I really liked Sheldon a lot, so.
Yeah,
And again,
we saw him at TCAF, as a matter of fact.
yeah, and you guys got like original art and stuff.
Yeah, the Brian, you can tell him about that.
Yeah, I've been a big fan, especially since he started Drive. I'm really, I read through the whole archive of Sheldon, and Sheldon is really funny, I find, but it's the I'm a little bit put off by the sometimes he leaves characters behind, you know, and then you get like a couple months of strips where you only see like Arthur and Gramp.
Oh.
right?
Yeah.
Drive, you know, it's a story comic. And so I'm really following that one. So
I've always intended to buy the book, and I have never gotten around to it because I have trouble sitting in front of the computer too much to read webcomics. So if I ever get an iPad, I know I'm just going to, like, all I'm going to do is read comics. But sitting in front of the computer and reading comics is so awkward to me.
Oh, yeah, me too. That, for sure. That one I've been going on about, that, I don't even know how to say it right, that Pang, the Wandering Shaolin Monk. I've seen it on the computer, but I always, for some reason, never bookmarked it, never, but I love the art right away. And then to just find it, the guy was at TCAP, I bought it immediately. And then now I finally got around to reading it because I can bring it to work, you know, sit in bed at nighttime, read it. And
yeah, that's cool. Tell me about, the Toronto Comic Con thing.
Oh yeah, this is the second time we went. It's the only comic convention I've ever been to. It's the library, and it's mostly like, there's no superhero stuff really. It's mostly like Fantagraphics type publisher, Drawn and Quartered. Lots of all small press, basically. And it's Brian, how many vendors would you say are there? 300?
There were a little bit over 300.
Wow, that's really cool.
Lots of small tables with Dave Kellum was pretty inconspicuous. Like, you barely could tell he was there. You know, I mean, he was just there next to, like, the guy that does a little webcomic that's, you know, has, like, you know, that no one's heard of, and, like, mine. And stuff like that. But, yeah, it was good. It was great. There's a lot of, like, there's people, that Tom Spurgeon guy that I follow that used to work for Comics Journal. He was there at a table, and I didn't know that until afterwards, so.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. I went, there was the Anaheim Comic Convention. It's a Wizard World convention. That was just a couple weekends ago. And it's up the street from Disneyland where I work. And I was kind of disappointed because it was more like a San Diego Comic-Con kind of a thing. You know, there wasn't a lot of, like, people like us, like web cartoonists or even like indie guys very much.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the big stuff and the guy who played Hercules and,
oh yeah, yeah,
you know, the TV show Batman and Robin were there, and it was all that kind of stuff, which is cool too. But seeing all the tweets go on about that Toronto thing, it really looked like that's the show for, you know, that would be like the show for me. That would be the type of thing, you know.
Oh yeah, there's so much. It's hard. I don't even know what, like, lots of just like there's so much alternative stuff there. You pass a lot of tables, you're like, yeah, I'm not really interested in most of this stuff. But then there's those that suit, like, whatever your personal interests are. Like, there's lots of that, you know. Everybody has enough of their own thing there. You know what I mean? It's not if you go to, like, the Wizard World ones where from what I understand, it's like old superhero and it's all the same art and it's all the same stuff. It's pretty, the variety is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that's fun. I'll have to, too bad travel is,
yeah.
I understand.
I'm sure Dave Kellum said he's going to come back to the next one too, so.
Oh, cool. I would like to get out to that, webcomics weekend they do in New England.
You should put an application in, or is it an invite only thing?
I don't know how that works. I'd at least like to go sometime, but just getting out there, you know, that's all the way over there, all the way on the other side.
Massachusetts, right? New England, or yeah, right.
Yeah, like
NEWW.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, who's the guy that I like that goes there all the time? Little D, Chris Baldwin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah.
He does something. What else? What does he do now? Is Little D done with?
Yeah. I think he finished a year ago. He's just reprinting it.
And now, he does Space Trawler, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, Brian loves that. Like, I like it too, but Brian loves it.
I have a couple of originals of those of that. So.
Oh, very cool. I've started reading it like two or three times. So I've read the first, like, you know, 10 pages like three times, and then, you know, always intend to get back to it. And, you know,
he's really good at, Chris is really good at characters. Everyone just, they're so imperfect in their own way, but they get the job done. And it's just, I don't know, he's a great character writer, Chris Baldwin. It always impresses me, his stuff.
And the characters are not always, they're not always doing the right thing, you know, like, especially with Yuri. She's going nuts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I haven't read it in a couple of days, but that's right. Yeah, a couple of weeks, so I have to get back, catch up. Yeah, no, yeah. Brian got me started back on topic on, like, I never even heard of PvP, and I was just thinking, I was talking to my brother, and I was like, oh, I was thinking of, like, getting a comic strip package to send off to a syndicate again, and then Brian calls me the next day, and Brian and I, we you know, we talk it when we get together with his brothers and stuff like that, but it's just weird, he just called me out of the blue. I think it's the first time he's ever called me. He's like, hey, I was thinking of, like, starting up a web comic, and, or at least managing one, or, because I know you know nothing about computers, I'd like to help you get started. And, so I've been reading PvP and Sheldon, and so he told me about them. So I, instead of going to the computer, of course, I went and bought a PvP book. And so then we did, I just started, drew a couple strips, and I'm like, let's post these right away. And he's like, well, maybe we should work it out. And I'm like, no, let's post it right away. So now I wish I listened to him and, you know, came out with a bit of more of a theme, I guess, instead of just like random starting. But that's how it started for me. I guess I started maybe, what, 5 or 6 months after you started? Same year, though.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close.
Yeah, I think that Robot Beach guy that I just started following, Matt, he's actually does lots of interesting stuff. He's got the Ustream going. He started, I think, almost the same month as you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked a little bit at his stuff, too. I'm going to have to check it out some more.
Yeah, I know. He's got some good stuff. Backstories going on, and he's got, I like his brush strokes. I think he doesn't like them the way he talks, but I like them. I hope he likes them, but it's sometimes, I guess as artists, we like to put our own work down. I don't know if we're fishing for compliments or what, but.
Right.
So. Yeah. Well, I get a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that it's okay all the time.
Tell me my Darth Vader is good.
Yes, that's right. It's good. You know, I just don't like him, David. It scares me. I would love, and when I was in college, I was always wished I had, like, every time I came in my room and all the guys were in the common room, that I had that Darth Vader, like, Darth Vader music. Like, I'd step out and it'd be, bomb. It would be like, oh no, here comes dawn. I was so grumpy in the morning. I need that coffee.
Have you seen that commercial with the little kid in the Darth Vader outfit?
Oh, I keep on hearing about it, but I need to see it. Brian, have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I we were talking about it last night, and we had to pull up YouTube on our phone to watch it, just to watch it again, because it's...
Yeah, I have to watch it now.
They made a new one.
Oh, really?
And I don't know whether it's by the same advertising house or whatever, but it was for Thor, where the kid was dressed up as Thor. Right, and then he goes out to the car and he tries to whatever, and then like a lightning bolt strikes it and blows up the car, instead of, you know, the car starting. So it's not it looks like it's going to be a car commercial, but then it turns out it's a advertisement for the Thor movie.
Oh, that's good. That's clever. Switches it up on you. Dead air. We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened. Dead air happened.
Yeah, there it was. I was waiting. I'm like, oh, let David go first this time.
So did you, so you, you, so you started your strip and you didn't really have any, backlog at all?
No, nothing. I didn't know what I was doing. I just was so excited about like this, like being able to like put it out there. I was just like, wow, readership besides like my friend. Well, it was just my friends at first anyways, but I guess. But, yeah, I had this strip I worked on in the 90s. Like, I stole Caster's, I stole all the, my main character's design off him. His name's Caster. He's a beaver. He looks almost exactly the same, except for he's shorter and he's got a beaver tail almost, and without the hairlines on the head. But yeah. I was going to do that. I had like 40 strips or 50 strips already done. Like, they were 10 years old. I could have redrawn them. I had a whole backstory. I could have went with that, but I'm like, oh, this web, everyone's going to steal your characters. I had no idea. Like, you know, I was just so naive. And I just didn't. I wanted to start fresh. And, well,
so yeah, those turned out pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah, it's good. It's forced me, all those like things I did in the first 10 strips that I regret. I've been trying, I've created all these backstories to explain, like, I'm like, oh, why did I make my main character, like, kill lions? It just seems so, like, the kind of person you wouldn't like, you know what I mean?
No.
I want people to like him, so I got this reason. Now there's a reason for it, and that's why, and it's going to come out eventually. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's, you know, the talking tree is in there for a reason, too. And I did I just needed to take a break. As you know, from doing a story, you're just like, okay, I'm just tired of this story now. I've paid it its due, and now I just want to just do random stuff for a bit.
That's, just today, the one that got posted today was, I was like, good, I've tied this strip up. I'm done. You know, it's tied up the story, right? The storyline, I realize, has been going since like January. January, February, March, April, May. I mean, almost like 4.5 months. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a book, David, right there.
Yeah, no kidding. There should be a book, just the story. But then I realized I'm not done because there was still there was like a little story that came before this big story of Lighthouse, where he the reason he went on this mission is because he had to pay rent because he got kicked out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh.
So now I have to go back and like, so now I have to explain how he's you know, there's just this whole other thing I have to go into now. So I wanted to do just gags. I'm like, oh, but I can't. I have to go back to that and tie that up now. Oh, I don't want to.
You left some mystery there with too, and this strip today that came out today with Mila's mother. You're like, oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah. I at one point, my buddy Eric Scales, who has a blog.
Yeah, great artist. I visit once in a while.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? Yeah. Oh, makes me so jealous. He does some great stuff.
I know. When you said you were trying to get him to do a guest strip, I was like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be great. But he's pretty shy about that. He doesn't think he'd be able to write anything. That's his thing. But I think he'd be great. But anyway, he interviewed me for his blog because he likes to try to put something up on his blog like pretty much every day. So he needed content. So he's like, I'm going to interview you. So, in the interview, I remember I said, I promise I'm not going to come up with any new characters. And then like, it took me a week and I like came up with Mila's mom and I came up with all these new characters. I have this new character disease.
I know, but you know, with Mila's mom, it feels like she was always there.
That's good.
You know what I mean? I think Brian will agree with that. It feels like it seems like she had to be there. It just makes sense. You know, like it just didn't, probably because it's a blood relation too. So it's not like, you know, everybody has a mom. So it never seemed like, it seemed like she was always part of the strip. When she appeared, you're like, oh, a new character. I didn't even think of her as a new character. I don't know, Brian.
It seems to help that it seems like she is like secretly involved with the decision making of Space-Base 8. Like she's up there, she has connections.
So, yeah.
Like introducing her, it's like she's like M from James Bond. New M, the female M.
Right. I was kind of conflicted about that character, seeing that we already have the boss, and I could have really made the boss be her character, right? You know, I mean, I don't know. Somehow he's kind of gone in a direction where I've taken the teeth out of him, I think, somehow, sometimes.
He's,
so
he's a bureaucrat, that guy.
Yeah. So I think I want to get him back to being more of a, you know, annoying bad guy, too. But
horny-haired boss kind of guy?
It's tough. You start liking his characters, and you don't want them to be so hard-ass. Doc, I've made him a lot softer, and I'm like, he's supposed to want to like hurt people really bad. So, I gotta remember. Yeah,
I have a buddy who is into Star Trek, and he told me that every time I come up with a bad guy, he expects that by the end of the storyline, the bad guy's not gonna be a bad guy anymore because. And it's just like Star Trek, you know, where how originally the Klingons were the bad guys, and then we realized they're not really that bad. They're just, you know, they just like to fight. That's all.
That's right,
You know, they're actually very honorable. So I have that kind of born in Star Trek kind of a mentality where I want the characters to be a little bit more rounded than just being bad guys.
That's good writing too. But if there's a reason for their grumpiness, and I think you dived into the bosses like. I can't remember if he was lonely or his wife died or.
Yeah, his wife died.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was debating on whether she left him or she died. And, I finally just went with that she died because I think that's even more sad. Writing a joke. I think there was a joke I was writing or the gag I was writing was everybody was wondering where the boss was on vacation and they're all, he's all partying, whatever, you know, and he's bossing people around and making people miserable. And then you see him in the next panel. Standing over like a grave, you know, and I thought if I could make him like at a divorce hearing or something, and it's like not as funny or not as I don't know, funny is not the right word. It's not, no, it's not as much of a turnaround. It's not as much of a contrast.
That's what it is.
It's,
so I think that's really what made me decide which way to go with that, because
you'd gotta have less of him
flip, you know, for the punchline, or at least the gag. I don't know if it's a punchline.
Yeah, what do you call something that's very serious like that? But I guess the I don't know. I'm not.
It's not a punchline. I think like Charles Schulz was really good at that. It wasn't really a punchline. I mean, Charlie Brown looking in the camera and going, you know, good grief, or my stomach hurts. That's not really a punchline. It's not really you don't really get a laugh out of it, but it's
kind of a slap in the face sort of thing.
Yeah, somehow it's a satisfying conclusion to four panel beat, you know.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's better than just, you know, having some pun that somebody says, you know. I really like how he pulls that stuff off.
When you do a single panel strip, is it because you just can't think of anything, you just want to get it over with quick?
Sometimes it is.
That's what, if you see me draw like one big panel, that's because I just want to get this thing out the door.
I gotta say though, I think some of my one panel ones I've done are the ones I'm happiest with.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. The one that you have on your banner is one of my favorites. Panels.
That was seriously, it's like, I didn't have time and I was running out of time and I came up with it and I was so happy with it. It's like, that's, I think, that really kind of encapsulates.
I actually looked at the gears to make sure that it would work on that. I'm like, oh, you did it right. Wow, that's pretty
good. That was hard to draw, actually.
Yeah, no, I bet it took longer than you were like, oh, this is taking longer than I thought. Supposed really to be quick, just one panel, but now there's a lot more art.
Yeah. And I had to really pre-plan it a lot of stuff. Do you do a lot of pre-planning when you write up the draw up your stuff?
Lately, not lately. I got my 3-year-old is refusing to use the potty. I got 2 kids in diapers, and by the time you get those kids to bed, it's just like, I fell asleep trying to think of an idea 2 nights ago. I just Googled like spring plants. I don't know. Wild asparagus. It's okay. They're hunting wild asparagus. Let's see what happens. And I just, you know, drew it out real quick, and I'm like, okay, it's just gonna be a conversational one. It's not really much of a gag one. It's just like how two friends, if they're alone, might talk. And that's today's strip.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Sometimes it's very Calvin and Hobbesy.
Yeah, I realized when I started, I'm like, this is very Calvin and Hobbesy. This one for sure. I think if you go through my strips, you'll find like this one's very Schultzy. This one's very this one. I think maybe it's. Every cartoonist does that. I don't know, but I know it's with my work that some seem more like, you know, I guess it seems like some backflash of influence from the past is like being channeled. So,
yeah, I'm sure if we were to analyze pretty much anything that's out there, you'd find, you know, be able to find where the influences came from with a lot of people.
Oh yeah, the sheep that I have loving that's in love with the dog is like I know it's directly like mouse and cat from Crazy Cat because they love that.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, it's pretty far removed. You know, it's a long time ago. It's not exactly the same. There's no like hate, but it won't work because one's a sheep and one's a dog. And then I was like 2 months in, and I started reading Little D. And they've got this alligator that crushes on this dog. And I'm like, oh, man, this is just too simple. So I dropped the sheep. You didn't see her until like last. I dropped her for 8 months. I just said, forget it. And then you know what? I was talking to Brian about it. And I was like, you know what? You can't. There's going to be something in your strip of a strip that you haven't read that you. People are going to think it's the same. You can't control it. Like, you think you got an original idea, it's been done, forget about it. Just go with what you're doing. It'll come out your own way. So I'm like, okay, yeah. Might as well just stick with it.
So. It's everything's been done before. So you do it your own way, you're good to go.
Yeah.
I've felt kind of weird about, I hadn't intended to have my two main characters, Cargo and Bila. They weren't originally, when I first started drawing it, going to be a love interest type thing at all. That wasn't even part of the plan at all, but I just, as I was drawing it, I drew their hands touching accidentally, and I went, oh, maybe I could do this, maybe this will be a good gag, you know. And it, and then it just kind of, then, you know what I mean, it just went from there. I was just went, oh, oh, why not do that? You know, that'll be one thing, because I wanted to have a lot of interaction and stuff. And that's, you know, thank goodness I did, because it gave me a lot of directions to go.
Yeah, and that's always like there, eh, when those two are in the same room. It's always like hanging over their heads, and it's kind of nice that that's you've created an element. There's a third element that you can't see in the strip now, because you're like, okay, you know.
Yeah, and that kind of thing has been done a million times. I mean, you know, like, what was the Moonlighting TV show with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, that's right. That was, oh, yeah, I remember that show.
I mean, that was the whole, I mean, it was hilarious, but that was pretty much what I'm going for. You know, I thought of that, because I watched that when I was a kid.
I know, and you can't, it's hard. The moment you pay that off, the show becomes uninteresting.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, for, you know, if it ever happens, then that's not good, you know? Yeah. That's,
you have to have something really good waiting in the wings, like,
I don't, yeah.
Like The Office. I don't know. I really like The Office, but once, now that they're married and they have, I can't even remember, Jim and Pam. Yeah. And
then, yeah.
And I've, you know, I haven't watched it really, but I have Will Ferrell's on there, and I've seen a couple with him, and I like him, so maybe I'll go start watching it again.
But. Yeah. And it was, what's his name? The boss was kind of the bad guy, because, and now they became friends, you know, and they would all defend each other and hunt. It's, yeah, kind of. Yeah. Kind of has played itself out. Yeah. So I hope that these type of elements are the type of things that you can revisit every once in a while, but you don't need to always explain or always bring up, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I'm hoping I'll never feel compelled to actually have them kiss or anything. Or if they do, it'll be, you know, like some cheap shot, like, surprise, it was a alternate reality. Well, you know, science fiction. That's actually a pretty legitimate thing to do in a comedy science fiction thing, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I just got an idea.
There you go. I like, because you, world building, you've been doing some good little stuff that maybe you don't even realize you're doing, but you're kind of, I don't know, like this, the laser gun chart, like, you know, these are parts of that world that, it, you know, yeah. That was, I think everybody loved the laser gun chart. That was just hilarious. But diagram.
That got a big response. That's the biggest response I ever got. I had people retweeting that I didn't even know. And I don't know. That got a real big response. And my wife actually, as a present for me, she got that printed up really nice. And she framed it. And I have it hanging in my office. It's pretty much the only thing of my art that I have. But she did that to... as a nice present.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was. Well, that's,
my wife.
Yeah, that's great. Aww.
Aww, gee.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh. But there's been a couple of the like Friday color really big panel ones I've done that have gotten really good responses. So I think I want to do more of those. Have you guys seen Marooned?
Yeah, I just started reading him, as a matter of fact. I don't know. I just, like, 2 weeks ago. I've always been aware of him because Chris Baldwin has mentioned him and done work for him, like, artwork for him. But I just, yeah. There's so many webcomics. I'm like, okay, I'll get to that one eventually. And finally, I did.
Something I saw, he did something like a blueprint of the robots or something that looked interesting. I actually didn't get to look at it.
It's on his Facebook page. I saw it. It was cool. Right away, I was like, this is awesome. And that was about, like, world building. Like, he was.
Yeah, and he that's was, really neat. Yeah. That's really neat.
And he was talking about this is in John's pocket or something like that. He brought it with him from Earth or like, and he just hangs on to it or something. I can't remember what he said now, but it was really cool. It looked like he stole some actually like old blueprint paper and did it. It was just, I don't know the right word for that paper.
Yeah. But yeah, so that kind of thing, I did that because I didn't feel like working, you know, I thought that would be a quick thing. I only had to draw one picture, but then I had to write multiple gags, and it ended up being taking just as long as anything else, you know?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I guess some people were suggesting that you do Space Base 8, but like that's gonna be a big diagram to draw. But did you touch on Space Base 8 at all once? I can't remember. I want to do
like a cutaway.
What galaxy is that in anyways, David?
I don't know. Well, they talk about Earth, so it might be our galaxy. It might be out there somewhere.
You can call it the Cindy Galaxy. I think your wife will appreciate that.
That's right. It's the outer spiral arm of Cindy Epsilon 2 or something.
Yeah, that was You know, that's pretty neat. But I think, yeah, some people were asking for some blueprints of Space Base 8, I believe, because you did a cutaway of a section or something like that, I think. Am I right?
I think the only time you've really seen it is when Lighthouse got lost and he was wandering around through the base.
Me and that one fellow that follows you all the time, we love that one. I can't remember his name now.
Oh, Sysark.
That's it.
Yeah.
We love that one. I think that's my favorite.
Oh, that's thanks.
I just like because you've made me read right to left. That right away, and I saw that you did that to me. I was like, yeah, that's genius. You made me read the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, you do some really fun stuff with your layouts too. What was the little guy that was? I don't think it's on Road Apples, but it was.
Oh, that was for
the guy who escaped
from 1L, right? In Mako Comics, Patote. I'm so horrible at Spanish. Patote, is that right?
I think that's it.
I think it means big duck in Spanish, but yeah. Yeah, I did that. He's got that little cuckoo worm that follows him around, and I decided that he lived inside help me out here.
Patote, yeah.
Patote's head. Yeah, that was fun to do. That was just like, because he does some wacky stuff there. I'm like, well, I'll just go with the wacky stuff he's got going on down here. Yeah,
that's really fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I only had one kid.
I was thinking of the thing you did where the guy was escaping from jail.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
I think that's only on Facebook.
That was my original like Nambassa doc thing that was in my head, and I just drew that and I never used it.
That the way that, I mean, it didn't. I don't think it went backwards, did it?
No.
But it led you from like, from just the way it led you through the panels, like, it was pretty wonderful. The searchlights were the way they crossed, and then the road crossed the other way.
That's on my Facebook page.
And you'd see him behind the rock over here and stuff, and it was like Eisner, you know, where he really like leads you around with all these really cool things. And
well, I've never read him. I think I was inspired by I think Frank King is his name. I've seen a couple of him and like in these collections, not like a complete collection, but with like 8 of his Sunday pages, Gasoline Alley.
I've heard of it, but I've never read it.
And a Canadian guy, Seth, I've seen a couple of his works where he did where his character is walking through a neighborhood and you see the whole neighborhood broken up into like 8 or 6 panels and he's talking his way through it. So I think that's where like subconsciously that came from. But yeah, that was, so I don't know. I don't know if it wasn't like pure original or anything. I think I was like probably just like saw something or I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
A year since I've done that. So.
I like that one.
Fun. That's cool. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. I want to do more of those big, sort of Sundays that I did like 5 of them now, 5 or 6 of those ones I did recently. Just finding time to do those big color ones. I like doing them, but,
yeah, they came out real nice.
But it's just
all really nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking like if I ever like I think in the back of my head it's always like, will I ever print these in a book form? If I do, what am I gonna do with these big ones? Maybe I'll have to, you know, make a separate, like these are my big Sunday extra special ones book and these are my dailies books. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You think about that stuff in the back of your head even though you don't know if you will do it or how you'll do it or just back there.
Yeah. I really want to get off on the ball and make not only mini comics, like a sampler mini comic, but you made your helmet story, right? Mini comic?
Yeah, I organized it. It's like 16 pages. Brian came over and just showed me some things to help me make it look a little more professional. And, I guess we're just gonna go to like Staples and,
yeah, we just need to print it.
You need to print it. Yeah, maybe I needed to do some like inner wording, like copyright and, started this comic strip here and this day and that's
so it. You haven't printed it out yet?
I just have it all ready to go print. Oh. I need to add stuff to it. It's black and white, no color.
Yeah. Actually, I'm in the middle of doing a mini comic with Oral. It's a time travel story.
Oh.
I joined a mini comics dump truck. It's a little mini comics club through Art and Story. Do you know the Art and Story podcast at all?
No, I don't know that one.
It's
I'm gonna write this down.
Art and Story. Yeah, it's really good, but it's more about like not really comic strips, but it's comics in general. But so it's a mini comic club where everybody does. We started in January, and at the end of June, we all print up our mini comic and send it to everybody else who's in the club. So basically, you get a bunch of mini comics for free, but you have to send out a bunch of mini comics, you know, to other people. And my idea for this time travel, I call it time loop comics, is it's a story that there's no beginning page. Any page you start on is the first page, and it loops around, so the first page goes right into the last page because he's in a time loop.
Oh, nice.
And it's turned out to be way harder than I thought it was going to be. And then I thought maybe I'd save some time, so I bought Manga Studio. And I thought maybe that would save me some time where I could just do it all digitally. And, of course, then I had to learn Manga Studio, and I wasted, like, a week trying to learn Manga Studio. And I realized, like, I could probably just do it quicker just by drawing it, not digitally, you know, and going back to the way I do things usually. But anyway, so I'm halfway through doing that, and it's I think it'll turn out okay, but it's not as good as I thought it was going to be because I've put it off for so long, and now I have to rush to get it done on schedule.
Oh, that sounds like fun though, just to have that little community of people doing neat stuff.
Yeah, I think I wish I had more time. I realize now I really don't have time to do stuff like that. You know, plus do the strip. Just doing the 3 days a week is about all I can handle, really, which is sad.
I know. Some weeks I was like, oh, this is easy. I'm like, I did an extra one for next week, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've only got one done and this week so far. Like, because I always used to have a buffer of like 2 weeks, and then I'd go down to 2 days, then I go back up to 2 weeks, and now I'm down to none.
Yeah.
So.
One for Monday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. One for Monday.
I still haven't done Mondays. It's Friday now, and I still haven't done Mondays yet. I wrote it, but I haven't drawn it. So, at one, like, when I started, I had a couple months.
Yeah, I know, and you're doing them daily.
I know, I thought I was going to be like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be a real cartoonist, I'm going to do 5 days a week, you know, and...
And you did, you painted them, too.
Yeah, and they were, each one was a full painting.
Yeah, I'd like to see those originals.
Yeah, actually, they're pretty because the paint I use, the gouache, is the colors are really, the pigment is really dense in gouache paint. It's actually really pretty. Even though I'm not saying my art is pretty, but I just love that paint.
Oh no, I mean I the moment I saw your art, I went straight, because there's so much. I went to that web comics site and there was like 10,000 comics.
Yeah.
Every time everything looks like bad manga or something like that. Well, not all. I'm sure there's good stuff, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I'm sure there's lots of good, but you know, that you, I guess you put your ad in the banner there, and I'm like, wow, there's something that appeals to me right away. So I clicked on it and told Brian about it, and I think I went through your archives like right away. And then I started reading Monkey Always Wins because I wanted to know more. It's like right away, I was like, I'm sure that's, you know, you find something you like and you just want to find more about it. So then,
yeah,
I'm sitting on the fence for a bit, and I'm like, I just started my webcomic, and I'm just going to go and then say, hey, I do one too. Like, I got like, what, months worth of stuff, like nothing really to, you know, to say that, you know, I haven't really put any hard time in yet, you know. But I'm like, what the heck, I'll send them an email anyways, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. You know, you were the first person to do that. And I don't know, it was kind of weird. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, should I respond to this guy? I don't, you know, is he going to think I'm weird? You know, I don't know how this works, this computer stuff. So I'm glad you did, though, because I'm not very good at, like, reaching out to other guys that I admire or anything. And it looks like you're doing pretty good at that. I see you're talking with your, I guess I see your tweets actually to other people. I'm like, oh,
last month I actually, you know, I had the tonsils killed me. I better help with this. I was off work for 3 weeks. It was really bad. I had to go back in the hospital after 10 days. They had to go back. Anyways, it was a mess, but I was at home a lot, and my in-laws, they live far away. It's an 8-hour drive, and they came down and helped. They lived with us for like 2 weeks. They helped with the kids and stuff like that. So they were gone all the time, even though like I couldn't really talk or anything like that. So I drew a lot, and I was out looking. I never had that much. I never have any time in the computer, but I had a lot of time in those 3 weeks, and I was able to like discover a lot of new cartoonists and start talking to them. And now they probably like, he doesn't, he doesn't follow us or talk to us as much anymore, but that's because I'm healthy now and back to work. So, but
actually, I saw that you were getting kind of active on Twitter and stuff, and so I took that. That emboldened me a little bit, so I started like retweeting people like Sanford, Jay Sanford.
Yeah.
Is he John Sanford?
Yeah, John Sanford, yeah.
Yeah, and I had read Chippy and Lupus before, and then I just happened to see him tweet that he was Ustreaming at some time that I was home, like during the day, like 9 in the morning one day or whatever.
Saturday morning, I caught him a couple of times, but now the kids, their apps have changed on me. But anyways, it's like 10 o'clock here, 10, 11
that
o'clock.
That turned out to be pretty good because I got in on that, and, you know, then he added me, and I would retweet him, and he retweets me now and stuff, and he's, you know, he's got a decent following of people. Not as much as he'd like, evidently, but... you know,
I'm sure it's more. I'm sure I would like his numbers, but
yeah. But yeah, even guys who have I gotta get better at it. I have to make time. Like first half hour of every morning, I should get up, read a half hour of other people's comics, and then the next half hour, I should like do like social networking stuff like every day. You know.
Yeah, I think it's for cartoonists too. Is we have to break out of the. It's hard to break out of just the cartoonist thing. Like, how do we get people that aren't web cartoonists to be interested? I don't know how to do that. How to break out of the, you know, to get this the regular person that, you know, is interested in some comic strips and just to get them. I don't know how to get those people, but guess everybody wants to know how to get those people.
Yeah, but, I think it was. In the early days of the webcomics thing, when there was only a few of them, each little niche had its stars. Like, you know, you had Penny Arcade and PvP, I guess, you know, those were the gaming strips. I'm sure there's a couple others. That was kind of a thing. And then, Schlock Mercenary? Do you know Schlock Mercenary?
Oh, I've never heard of that. Brian, have you heard of that one?
It rings a bell, but I don't think I ever read it.
I heard about it because there's a writing podcast and it's two writers who write novels and then this guy who does Schlock Mercenary, which is a webcomic, and they're all friends and they do a writing podcast. And he was a marketing guy before he was an artist, and he didn't really draw, but he was a writer and a marketing guy. And so he really knew how to market it, and he has a couple, my wife just made a face at me. Sorry. he has a couple things on YouTube that where he's talking at a convention or something. And it's amazing how he said, like, everything was all pre-planned. He even plans his story arcs so that each story arc is a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he does that on purpose. Like, he says, okay, there's so many pages in this book. I want to do like two or three books a year. And he plans his story arcs to fill as many pages. And he does a survey to see how many people would want to pre-order the book. And but this was a long time ago that he started. I think he's been doing it 10 years. But he didn't print up a book until he had people like promise that they would pre-order this money. And he said he made like, you know, something like $100,000 in pre-orders or something before he even started. It's just this amazing thing. And then you look at the webcomic and you go, his art's not, he was right. He claims that he's not really a, you know, that much of an artist. He's gotten better through the years, but, you know, it's just amazing what you can do if you know what you're doing. And that's the whole thing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm sure just tell me it's good. Just tell me you like it. That's all I know.
I would really like to do something more like this than my day-to-day job, you know. Not that my day-to-day job is that bad, but I've been doing it for 16 years now, and I'd really like to not have to do that.
Oh, yeah, no, I hear you. I just feel like because I rush and I'm tired when I do my strips all the time, like, you know, you can always tell, like, when I've, like, had time to draw a strip, like, when I've actually sat back and sketched it out instead of, like usually I go to inks pretty fast, and my drawings, nobody else could ink those, my drawings, trust me, they're just like a couple circles and, you know, a couple lines here and stuff like that. So the ones that, like, you know, like those, some of those full page Sunday ones, like the ones with the, I think it's called Watching, it's with the lion and the trees, I sat down, you know, I took my time because I had time, and so I can do, I know if I just had time,
Right.
And then I could organize my storylines better instead of just like, oh, okay, this is not working out. And, you know, I could actually like, you know, set up a plot, set up a story arc and whatever. But, you know, anyways, just do my best right now and not complain about it.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Me too. I thought about that too, like pre-planning things. And I thought, well, I don't think I need to. I think things are turning out all right.
Yeah, no way. I think so.
Just keep going. Maybe I'll try to.
It'll be 2 years, and that's, from what I understand, that's a pretty significant mark in the webcomic world. I think if you 2 years, you're probably going to keep on going. I think 2 years, they would say 2 years, wait 2 years before you start like selling stuff or doing stuff. And I think you're what, a couple months away from there. So
yeah, I think is this May now? I think June 1st is when I started in 2009. So it'll be 2 years coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so it takes time. Like, you're right. You're not just like, it happens. There's those people that like, they have maybe a comic book following and they start a web comic, but
yeah.
And that, like, I think Charles, the Abominable Charles Christopher, he's a fellow Canadian. You ever seen that comic strip?
Yeah, that's another one that I've read, like the first, I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's like, he draws for DC or something like that, doesn't he?
He's a real comic book artist.
Yeah, that's right.
He works with the Transmission X guys, and most of those guys have like day jobs doing superhero stuff, movie tie-in stuff, you know, that they do one-offs, that kind of thing. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah, he's up for the Eisner, I think, right?
Yeah. This time. Yeah. Which best digital or yeah?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I know he's probably
good for him. I hope he.
Yeah, I mean that's obviously like the number one thing, right? Everybody loves that.
Yeah, I bought that book at TCAF off him. I'm gonna give it to Brian eventually, but.
Oh, so he was there, huh?
Yeah, so I got that literature book. It's good. I haven't cracked it yet because I've just been going over that Pang book. So I really, did I mention I like that book?
Yeah, actually looked. I read the first page last night because I saw you were talking about it. So I went and I found it, and right before I fell asleep, I read it on my phone.
Oh. Yeah, the first page he does this. He follows like, and then he jumps to the main story. But it's not about. And then he at the end of the book, I think it's on the web. It's like page 180 or something like that. He goes back to those guys, and it's got a nice circle to it in the book and everything like that.
Oh, that's neat.
The way he organized it, it seems like he knew he had planned it very well.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem very random, that's for sure. And the art's one of those art styles I just love right away. But Brian said, I can't remember if it was Brian, but he goes, that guy looks like a Lego man. And I'm like,
I didn't make that comment. The heads sort of look like Lego man heads.
So now every time I see Lego man, I think. So, but yeah, it was good.
Does it ruin a strip for you or a comic hit for you if you can't get into the art? Like the writing is spectacular and the art is just meh, does it ruin for
you? I can't do it. I mean, Brian likes dinosaur comics and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've tried to bust through like dinosaur comics or even Wonder Mark, which everybody says is the funniest thing. It's supposed to be the best comic, and I've went and read it a few times. And do you know Wonder Mark?
No, that's new to me. I'm gonna have to look this one up now too.
Yeah, you know it, Brian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think that it's funny, but then once you get past the gimmick where he's like drawing old style characters and then just making them say funny things, I don't know. It gets kind of old for me. So yeah. In that case, yeah, the art style, it doesn't really.
Now, in defense of dinosaur comics, the ones that I've read, I've thought were genius. So, but I don't know.
Ryan North has a good brain in that guy, in his head.
So I don't know. I don't need the dinosaurs there.
Yeah, I have so little time set aside where I can actually read comics is that I want to see fun visuals along with what I read.
Yeah.
It kind of spoils it for me. And I wish it weren't that way because I don't want to be a snob of any sort or anything, but
yeah, it's not, I don't think you're being a snob because then that means I'm one too. It's just, you're right. It's about, that's why we're in the medium, because we like, things appeal to us. So we just like, that's why we want that part to pay off for us too. Right.
Yeah. You know, which is funny though, because I really like Peanuts, and there's not really very often very much going on in Peanuts.
Yeah, you're right. It's just heads, right?
Yeah, sometimes it is. They're just sitting at the wall. But then every once in a while, he will bust out, and you'll get some action. Like Snoopy will run. He'll grab Linus's blanket and drag it, or actually...
The pitcher's mound.
Yeah, the pitcher's mound. Pow! And everything goes flying. All his clothes go flying. Or even Dilbert, which is, you know... Dilbert, but Dilbert's pretty funny. I don't know.
I don't get it much of it because it's like, first of all, it's like the 90s, most of it. Like, my mother-in-law was trying to connect with me and she bought me a Dilbert, like the complete collection, this big hardcover with a CD in the back with all the strips up to 2005 or something like that. I can't remember. I got this and I started reading it and I, especially in the beginning, I did chuckle. So,
yeah. So, and XKCD is often very clever, and that's just stick figures. But there might be something charming about the stick figure. But I really do. I would rather look at something really engaging visually as well as clever to read too. So,
yeah, for sure.
XKCD is one of those comics that has the kind of the intellectual. Bonus, you know, when you say you read XKCD, you're like, haha, I get all those nerd jokes. So
that's right.
Is it like a stamp of honor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have
to. I don't need that.
I very often don't get XKCD because I don't know, like, you know, math jokes or coding jokes or whatever. I don't know the reference sometimes. So, and I don't read it a lot.
I'm a technical guy and I don't really follow it that much either.
I'll
find a few of them funny, but what I really like is when he skips the cartoon, but he does like he does charts, like he graphs something, or he makes like like he did one where it's like the whole entire timeline of Lord of the Rings. It's like it follows, every character has a line, and it's like if they die off, their line ends, right? And it goes to like where they enter the story and where they leave the story, you know, or if you don't see them for a while, then their line sort of is interrupted or whatever.
That's kind of fun. I would like that. I'd like to see that.
Maybe I can find that.
That's kind of like the big one panel things that we say we like.
Yeah, I guess they seem simple, but really hard.
Are you finding it?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
You can send that to me too, Brian. I'll check that out. Yeah, actually, I don't really, like, I try to read all the guys that I retweet all the time, but, like, but not... maybe that day. So I'll have like a Robot Beach Day where I'll catch up on his strips like real quickly for like 10 minutes. And then I'll pick, you know, Chippy and Lupus and I'll catch up on him. And like, because it's just that I got that routine now. Like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm trying to push Robot Beach, but like into that routine too, because it's now he's the same days as you and me. So then I just wake up, check to make sure my strip got published. Okay. I didn't make a mistake, which it never has happened yet, but. And then I read your strip, and then I go, and then usually I just like check to see if there's any emails, and I go make breakfast or run out the car because I'm running late for work. So
yeah,
that's my morning usually those days. But and then they read all the other ones. I just, you know, try. I catch each one gets a day, or I'm like, oh, I haven't read Marooned in like 3 days or a week or 2 weeks, and I'll just go catch up and. So I'm sure I think our own readers do the same to us because I think that the 19 girl, she reads yours, she came from your strip to mine, read.
Yeah.
So she will, like, won't leave a comment for a couple months, and then all of a sudden, boom, she'll comment on two strips, so.
Yeah. I think that's, like, a benefit of the webcomic thing, where you don't have to read it every day, and, you know, you can go back, and there's the archive. I think that's a, as far as being a comics reader, that's an awesome thing.
And look, you get more into the art, find the author's groove if you read, like, 10 of theirs in a row instead of, like, just one, you're like, huh. But if you start getting into the way that art, you know, that person's writing, you get into his sense of humor and you can understand better. That's why I like reading a big collection, because usually halfway through you start laughing a little bit louder because you're getting into the whole groove of the characters and stuff like that instead of just one-offs.
I have to say, that's something good about the books. That's why I got into Peanuts when I was a kid, is because they reprinted all those things in little paperback books.
Yeah.
My dad would come back from a yard sale or a garage sale. My dad was a big yard sale guy. Like, just a stack of Charlie Brown books, you know? And, so I would just, as a kid, just sit there and read, and, you know, it's, you know, then now I collect the reprints, you know, the, I guess it's, is it Fantagraphics?
Yeah, I stopped at, I don't know. I've got the first, I think, 10. And then all of a sudden I just stopped. I don't know why, but I think the first ones I ever came in contact with were the 60s ones with Linus Lunes' Kite and everything like that. Those were all the books that my library had.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I've always, like, those are the, even though it's not even my childhood, it's like I wasn't even born yet. But for some reason, I stopped kind of reading the 80s, but my brothers were 10 years older than me and they started bringing Garfield books home.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it was all for me, and I was all like, oh, I'm going to draw Garfield and Odie.
I'm actually old enough that I remember when Garfield came out, and I clipped it, the very first Garfield, I clipped it out of the newspaper, and I have it somewhere in, like, a scrapbook.
Holy cow. The very first
Garfield. I'm sure it's all, you know, yellowed and whatever, messed up.
I love the way he was drawn in the first year.
A lot different. Tiny little eyes, big fat body.
Yeah. He looked more like the fat cat that he is.
Yeah.
You filled too much of the panel.
That's right.
Yeah, whatever happened to John's brother, or what was it, buddy there with the mustache?
Yes, he was the original owner of Odie.
Oh, that's right. What was his name? It starts with an L, didn't it?
Lehman, or I don't know.
Yeah. And, or who was Newman's? Who's Nerman?
Nermal.
Nermal's. Who was his owner?
Boy, that's...
I don't know.
That's out of my league. I stopped reading Garfield way
later. Yeah. Yeah, no, my brothers were born in 64.
Lyman was his name.
Lyman, that's it. So they were like teenagers when I was born. They were 10 years old. I was born in 74, so
okay.
They brought home a lot of stuff. The reason why I got the contact was my dad didn't like that stuff, so they'd hide these comic books bathroom and stuff like that, and then I'd find them. And
that's it. So yeah, your brothers, I guess. I was born in 65, so he's like same as me, pretty much.
Yeah. 64 and 62, my brothers.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Big jump.
Do you have? Is it just the three of you guys?
No, I have a twin sister.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, wow. Like my dad was like, "Bam, twins!" 10 years later.
Take that.
Yeah.
No kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably went out
of the bicycle. I'm an only child.
Oh, you're an only child.
Yeah. That was me and my pets.
Yeah, that's, I wish I was an only child sometimes, especially when you're a twin. You're like, you're just so sick of sharing birthdays and everything.
So I'm looking at this, Lord of the Rings, this XKCD thing. That's pretty awesome. There's Star Wars on there too, and Jurassic Park, and 12 Angry Men.
And then Primer.
What is Primer? I don't know Primer.
Primer is an indie time travel flick. It was made for like $7,000. It is the most mind-blowing film you will ever watch.
Oh, I want to watch that. That sounds...
Because
that's
the gimmick is that they don't explain... there's no catering to the audience. So like they just keep talking in technical terms, you know, like it's like, so you never break out of the world that they're in.
Yeah.
Like they don't like stop and explain, well, this is how it works. You know, they just
like in Star Trek, like the whole, like, you know, the engineers explaining
them, yeah,
dumbing it down for us. It's like, you know, if you put a sock on your foot, that's what getting through this wormhole is like.
Yeah. You see them working on the machine, and then they just use it, right? And then you have to you have to figure out, like, how it's working and why they're doing what they're doing. And, yeah, it just gets the timelines, because it's a time travel movie, right? So that's why the lines are going backwards and looping all around.
That's fun. They cross over with each other and everything.
Yep.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah. Brian, I gotta check that out too.
Well,
we went an hour already. That's pretty.
I know. We did.
Before you watch it, you might want to visit the Wikipedia page, because there's an interesting diagram about how the time travel machine works. But don't like read the plot of it or anything. But there's a diagram of how it works, because it's not like a normal time travel machine. Where, you know, you get in and then you're in the future. It works in a specific way. Like, you can only loop through time. So. So that diagram helps set a scene for, and you won't be as lost and have to watch it again.
I wonder if it's on Netflix streaming. Oh, you guys don't, do you guys get Netflix?
Oh, yeah. I don't have it, but everybody I know does.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Wonder if something like that would be on there. I just heard of a new documentary. Have you heard of The People versus George Lucas?
No.
I guess it's just coming out. And I guess it's, you know, all this whole how people are angry at George Lucas about how he's redoing Star Wars and stuff. But I guess they have, I just heard it on the radio. They were talking about it, like a review of it. And they talk to, or they have a lot of footage, like surprising footage, like from the holiday special, the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, man.
There's actually, that's like,
terrible.
Footage from.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Terrible. You know,
what was that horrible Ewoks movie they did in the 80s that was on TV?
Oh, yeah, that was horrible, wasn't it?
Magic. It had magic in it, so I think it, like, or something, or I don't know.
I couldn't, I think I watched, like, the beginning of it and then just turned it off. I didn't even watch it.
So,
but you know what? I used to always watch the Ewoks cartoon.
Oh, you did? I forgot that it existed.
So what's that? Anybody else in it? It was just the Ewoks.
Oh yeah.
The what are they like? Are they suing him or?
I think they're just building the case against him. You know, but I guess they had a lot of access to like Star Wars, like. Early Star Wars, like, you know, outtakes or something, like, and then, you know, they bag on Jar Jar Binks, and they talk to all these people who are upset about, I'm sure they go into the whole, Greedo shot first, hand shot first thing, and it sounded fun, but I wonder where I'm going to find, cause it's like an independent, like, documentary, small thing. So where am I going to find that, you know?
He seems pretty free with his, like, he lets everyone licensing, like, he lets lots of people, like, use his stuff to just mock Star Wars all the time. And,
yeah, he doesn't seem to care. It's not like, because I, you know, I work at Disneyland. It's not like Disney where like you can't just like put Mickey Mouse anywhere. You have to like get 7 levels of approval to put Mickey Mouse in the corner of your newspaper, you know, student newspaper. My buddy in college was the editor in chief. His first day, editor in chief of the school newspaper. I guess. Some Disney representative was going to come to the college, and they put a picture of Mickey Mouse up in the corner and said, Mickey's coming to UCI, University California in Irvine. And he said he got to work. He was there at 9 in the morning, and there was already a call on his machine saying from Disney. Like, it was just a school newspaper. They're like, you can't put that in there. Give me a call. I'm from Disney or whatever. Like, how did they know? How did they know? It just came out today. You know, it's the Monday paper and it came out today and they already knew by 9 in the morning. How do they know?
Do they own Oswald the Rabbit now, or have they for a while, or have they always?
Yeah. They did some sort of trading, because I guess Oswald was ended up being owned by Time Warner or something like that.
Yeah, because that's like Walt Disney. I don't. Walt Disney created him, but he was working for somebody else before he left that studio with
Herb Iwerks.
Yep.
To start his own studio, and they pretty much just chopped the ears and the strap on his pants.
I know. People, I haven't seen a lot of those Oswald cartoons. I think I've seen one, but people are telling me that a lot of the early Mickey Mouse cartoons are pretty much exactly the Oswald cartoons, but with Mickey Mouse instead.
Yeah. And they got sound, right?
Right. Then they just added sound. Well, even the first couple, there's a couple Mickey Mouse cartoons that were originally done as silent.
No, Steamboat Willie, the very first, I'm pretty sure they did it, and then the jazz singer came out, and then Walt is like, oh, we have to do this. So they went back and added sound before they released Steamboat Willie. And so Steamboat Willie, I think, was Mickey Mouse's first cartoon and the very first sound cartoon all at the same time.
Well, they actually animated Plain Crazy and Galloping Gaucho first.
Oh, okay.
And those were silent. And then they said, oh, we have to do a sound one, and they did Steamboat Willie, and they went back and they put sound into the other two, and those were the second and third ones that came out, but they didn't even, so when you watch them, you realize, you know, there's, people aren't really talking,
it's all like cowbells, every time I say cowbell now, it's like songs. Saturday Night Live, sorry.
It's pretty cool.
But they,
having worked at Disneyland all these years, I just kind of, I'm not really a Disney fan. I mean, I am, as much as anybody who's a cartoonist is, but I'm not like, you know, cause like this guy, my buddy Eric, I told you, you know, Eric Scales, he's just a big Disney fan, and he knows all about it.
You know that I always say his name wrong, Brian Godfredson. Who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fantagraphics released their book early for TCAF, and I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
And I went there for, on Sunday, and I went right up to the table, because Brian's like, they had a whole pile there on Saturday, and then sold out. Heartbroken.
Yeah, there's some, my library when I was a kid had a big bound book of Mickey Mouse comic strips, the Floyd Gottfredson. And so I would sit there and read those. I think it was even like they didn't allow you to check it out. You had to read it there, because it was a big, like, hardback book.
Oh, nice.
And so I've read a lot of those stuff, but
I didn't appreciate his art until I got older. I just thought, it's Mickey Mouse. And now I look at him like, wow, he knew what he was doing. Like,
there's a lot. Especially a tiny little panel, but there's so much going on. There's, you know, backgrounds and, you know, characters, two or three characters in every panel, and there's a car, and there's a house, and there's a mountain in the back. Like, I don't know, how do you get it all in there?
I was looking at, I got this picture of my, by Patrick McDonald. He wrote that book on Crazy Cat. Comic art of, I don't know, he did it back, I think, before he even started Mutts, I'm not sure. And there's a picture, I think, of George Harriman asleep at his drawing board. And there's this daily strip that he hasn't started penciling yet. He's got, the borders on it. And it's huge, the size he's drawing it. Like, it's, I think it's, 24 inches by, 8 inches or something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's like they had room.
Yeah, and they also printed them larger back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why when I started, I did a couple of those big ones. I know, we have the web now. We shouldn't be doing these little I don't know how to say it right, but. We should be taking advantage of our media, bringing it back. I think it's kind of like a renaissance going on right now. Anyways, that's because of the web, everyone's reprinting all these classic comic strips, and everyone's getting influenced them. They're like, we can do this stuff again. We can do this action. We can do these Terry and the Pirates, what PvP's doing right now, sort of like a Terry and the Pirates kind of art, big action using the pay. I guess it's the second wave. Just the audiences are smaller.
Yeah. Each audience is its own little niche. You know, you have people who are into this or into that, and it really is still a pretty wide open kind of arrangement. I actually had to make a decision, you know, talking about that, you know, how we could go in any direction. I had to make a decision if I was gonna what I was gonna do, and I really limited myself to I'm gonna do a newspaper strip style, strip format. Yeah. Three panel, four panel, whatever, just to make sure I could stay on schedule, and you know what I mean, just to have that limitation, and that Friday would be just a double size, not I guess usually Sunday strips are like three strips or something. I mean, there's a lot more, and I just doubled it in color. But yeah, that's a bit. You have to decide what you're gonna do. Sometimes I feel like I'd like to do more.
Yeah, like
your big sized ones for a whole week. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was fun, and I just because I was like at home and by myself, and I could do it.
Yeah,
I don't know. You're right. I picked a size two, and I did change my drawing size. I made it bigger. I started at 4 by 13 inches, and I did that for around 9 months, 10 months, and now I upped it up to 5 by 16 inches.
Oh yeah, do you like that? Does that
I like that a lot better. But now I find myself drawing bigger instead of like because I'm going back to my helmet strips, and I fit a lot of stuff in some of those strips, and I'm like, I got this bit. I've given myself more size, and I'm not fitting the same amount of stuff in. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, stop drawing so much. I'm you know, doing what people do with their income. You know, I'm spending what I make.
Yeah, you know? Right. So, I know what you're talking about.
Like, I got a raise. I should have extra money. What?
Yeah. I, just in this last storyline, I ended up with, you know, multiple characters in every panel.
Yeah.
And, so I had to start drawing them smaller. So I had to ditch using the brush. And I started using these pens again, and which I really like, actually. I really like using these pens because sometimes I'd draw in my original art, like you. I did 4 by 13, I think, is the size I do my strip.
Yeah.
Sometimes the character would be like an inch tall, you know, because I had my giant octopus character.
Yeah.
So I had to have the tiny little character standing next to him, so I couldn't use the brush because you just can't get the detail with the brush. And now I'm really using these pens a lot. These really cool, they're brush pens, but they're really stiff and they don't wear out like the other brush pens.
What are they called?
They're zebra pens.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to look into these different, I'm tired of, I do everything with a micron and I just go over my line like animator would or. And I just go over it. I don't do it smoothly. I do it rough on purpose. I like to have that jaggedness. But that's why you're a professional artist. Like, you draw merchandise for Disney. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So how do you switch from one style to the other? Because I love your style is so unique, David. And I don't know, really pops and it's very appealing and it's got its own. How do you turn it on when or off? Or how do you turn it off for work? Or is it just natural? Like.
Well, I don't know. I don't really.
It's not conscious or.
It's not now. Well, I guess it is. I think it was. Now I just draw, I guess, but.
Because I realize you're drawing different at work, right? You're not like going like.
Right. I don't do. Yeah. It's not, I don't know if it's really that much different though. And plus it's pretty easy because I'm drawing things other people have designed. I don't have to make any design decisions really. Mickey looks a certain way. You know, Princess and the Frog, they give you a style guide. It's like a big Bible, and they're like, this is how everything has to look. Yeah. And, you know, you can pose them and stuff, but pretty much it has to look like that. So very often I'm just taking a pose and or sometimes I'll just find a picture that's already there and just draw that. So not a lot of decisions to make unless I want to make color decisions, which I think what I'm doing now is I'm trying to get better at color, both at work and on Space Base 8. I really want to concentrate on color.
I started, thinking about that too. With when I did do a couple of colors, I started flood filling it with just like brown and then coloring with opaques on top of that with the computer just to get that. I've been playing with color too, just to try to get a unique feel and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, it looks real nice. I like believing. And then you were doing some like crazy cat kind of colors too, a little like shocking, like big old blocks of orange.
Yeah, stuff. That was that. If you see a bright orange, I think it's subconsciously I'm channeling crazy cat.
No, that was fun too. It was markedly different from the other stuff, but it still worked with your style.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I tried like I discovered it when I was 16, but you know this we're talking like I don't know how hard it was, but for. Pre-internet and you're trying to find out about different artists and cartoons, it was pretty hard here in Canada. I don't know, there wasn't that many books in the library about Crazy Cat or Pogo or anything. Like I think they had one Pogo collection, no Crazy Cat, And my parents somehow got me, I don't know how, the comic art of Crazy Cat, how they found that book or what, but I got it for Christmas once, and that's where I was able to get all these, and I got blown away. You know, I never really read them. I just kind of looked at the art.
Yeah.
It's like.
So you got that when you were a kid, really?
Yeah, around, yeah, I guess like, we're talking like 89 when I was around or so, like in high school.
Wow. That's cool.
So, and then, yeah, so then I kind of forgot about them for a while, and then I just, realized that Fantagraphics had just reprinted a whole bunch of their Sundays, like the complete collection. So I started picking them up around last year, and I started falling in love with again. And you can see where I think you probably noticed when I started reading them again. I think it's like just after you did the guest strip for me, around maybe a couple weeks after there. It's just the whole patty cake storyline. You'll see some different stuff going on in my strip. And it's like, oh, that's when I started reading Crazy Cat again.
Yeah. I love the way it looks. You know, I have to say I never really thought it was that funny, Crazy Cat.
Yeah, no, I just loved how he was able to do it different every day, a brick throw.
Yeah, a variation on a theme for sure.
It was just the art. I got a bunch of the books and I haven't read most of them. I just looked at the layouts and the way he laid out pages and the art. I'm cheating him because his language, when I do read them, like the language is, wow, the guy. He mastered the language, like he has his own like
little dialects. They have funny ways that they spell the words and stuff, and that's real clever.
It's well done. Just, and then there's Pogo, which is also master of both, and but his lettering is just the way it matched the character. And yeah,
you know, I have to say it really bugs me. I look at contemporary like superhero comics now, and they'll do that where like Iron Man will have like a robot font.
Yeah.
And his word bubble is yellow in a, it's square, like he's a robot or whatever. And then somebody else will have their own like word bubble and font. And it just looks so horrible, but it never bugged me in Pogo at all. It was cause he did it well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, like computer lettering is good, I guess, if it matches the artwork, but I find it rarely does.
Yeah. That's another thing I was kind of disappointed with Manga Studio, is I was excited that I could be able to do word bubbles easily. But then I found out you can't really shape the word bubble how you want. You have to make a word bubble, and then you can resize it and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't distort it. See, I do my word bubbles. I do everything in Photoshop first. I type out my words and I draw with the pen tool, you know, a vector word bubble. And then I print that out and then I light table that. I like trace the letters and I trace the word bubble.
That's a great idea.
Actually a couple times I've even gone back once I scan my originals, because I hand letter everything.
So what's, for everybody, if anybody also wants to try that, what size is your font size when you print it up?
I use a 14 point font size, and it prints it real, you know.
That's good for your 4x13 size drawing strip.
4x13, yeah, right. So, but with Manga Studio, you can't make the bubble, because my word bubbles are kind of retro shaped, like a television screen is what I think of it. You know, it's like a rounded square, but kind of sometimes I'll tweak it so it's kind of, you know, like more pointy and on one side, and it's not symmetrical. And you can't do that, as far as I could tell. I can't do that. So I think I'm just gonna use Photoshop if I ever wanted. Paint digitally or like do a comic digitally. I think I'll just use Photoshop instead of Manga Studio. Even though I got a really good deal on it, it was on sale. So it's usually a $300 program and it was $100. So, I'm still going to play with it though, but, I don't think I'm going to actually be using it.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have time for that, but I would like to, because I think, you know, to be able, I just like, I don't know. I want to master a brush first, and I still haven't gotten around to that.
That's what I'm lucky with my work. That's where I got good at the brush. I use a #1 brush to do outlines on stuff. You know, I'll make a picture. We actually paint. We do whole paintings.
Wow.
I'll use gouache with paint, and I'll So I get to use the brush every day to do outlines. So I've practiced for the last 15 years using a brush to do outlines. So I love doing that. And that's the first thing I learned when I started illustrating. I worked with an illustrator and he gave me a brush and he goes, you know, do these lines for me. And when it's good enough, I'll pay you for it. And so I learned to use that brush, and that's the best thing I ever, it's just opened up so much for me when I learned to use that brush.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want to,
no, I know. I just went a long time, but it's, yeah.
Gotta go, I think.
Yeah. It's late here too. It's 10, almost 10.
Oh, that's right. You guys are way ahead of me. 3 hours. So.
Yeah, no, thanks for, that was great. I think, you know, that was fun. We'll have to do it again. We'll see how Brian will send you, and you can do with it whatever you want. You can edit it. So you're talking if you want to. And
yeah, you going to do something with it? You're going to,
yeah, I think I don't know. I might put it on the website. It's a long, I mean, it's an hour and 24 minutes we got here. So,
well, this is at least a good practice. We wanted to do something more structured or something, and, you know, shorter, and break it up into topics or something, you know, that might be cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll Twitter.
Yeah,
we'll
message right. you. That's good. Yeah, it was fun. And yeah, we got the, you know. Yeah, thanks, Brian. I guess we'll just say goodbye. Good.
Yeah. Good. Right. Good to finally talk to you, Brian.
Yeah. Good to talk to you too.
Hey, he helps me out with everything that I don't know about computers, which is mostly everything. So.
Yeah, I might be hitting you up sometime.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. I understand that. One last thing. What's his name? Frumpf, the guy who does Comic Press.
Yep.
He's coming up. He wants to start up his own hosted Comic Easel. His new thing is Comic Easel. He wants to like host it and do everything and have a service where all the artist has to do is be the artist, and he'd take care of all the hosting and the content management, and, you know, so basically it'd be like WordPress, but for comics.
Right. Yeah, I can see how some artists would consider that worth paying for. You know, if they have no idea and all they don't want to learn that. They just want to draw. And
yeah. That would be easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I make friends with people that know how to do it.
That's what I know. I'm like, "So, Brian, what do you think?"
Brian can be our Comic Press guy.
Yeah.
I have no problems with it. It's...
Nice. I need to do something with my website. I have a friend who's going to help me out on stuff, but I don't know how far it's going to go. But anyway, okay, yeah. Really good talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks, David. Have a good night.
You too.
The weather's nice there.
It's actually pretty darn nice, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it always is.
All right.
All right, well, take care.
Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.